future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. We have an action-packed show in store for you this evening. We're going to be talking about Goldman Sachs analyst Slide suggests now's a good time to buy Bitcoin, what this means, and who have they been presenting that to. Number two, Coinbase UK dropping support for cryptocurrency Zcash, what this means for the Zcash Foundation. And Bitcoin mining industry, exponential growth just won't stop. So with that in mind, let's jump into today's show and let's get down to business. All right, let's kick things off and let's get down to business. So market intel from Goldman Sachs suggests investors should capitalize on the current price dip and buy Bitcoin. In a series of slides from the bank's analysts that sent out to investors, Goldman included one that said the short-term target for Bitcoin is $13,971 and that investors should consider buying on any dips in the current scenario. The bank said that based on the Elliott Wave analysis, Bitcoin would find support around $11,094 and that there's a scope for a move higher to $12,916 than $13,971. As such, retracement from $12,916 to $13,971 should be viewed as an opportunity to buy on weakness, as long as it doesn't retrace further than $9,084 low, the note said. It should be noted that prices used for analysis don't include weekend prices and are likely from futures markets. While the bank's analysts seem bullish on Bitcoin, Goldman Sachs CEO and chairman has previously said that Bitcoin just isn't his thing. Lloyd Blankfein said in an interview last June that Bitcoin is not for me. I don't do it. I don't own Bitcoin. Rumors that Goldman would launch a crypto trading desk and custody service have been reportedly put on hold over the uncertain regulatory scene in the US. I think that's extremely interesting. They're telling their investors to buy on a dip. They're pushing that out there. They're pushing the situation out there. You know, they wouldn't be doing that if they hadn't had the ability to either be long themselves or to have a way for their investors to buy Bitcoin through them. So they wouldn't be pushing a stock or an asset that an investor couldn't buy through them. It wouldn't make sense for them to do that. And also, it's very positive that they're aware and pushing this to investors, because the investors that are clients of Goldman Sachs range from ultra high net worth individuals to family offices to hedge funds. And all of these individuals would be receiving this. So it's also a stamp of approval on Bitcoin if they also had questions around Bitcoin itself. So I think it's extremely positive that we're seeing that. So let's talk Coinbase. Coinbase UK is dropping support for cryptocurrency Zcash. So the UK arm of Coinbase appears to be dropping support for the privacy-focused cryptocurrency Zcash. According to customers, Coinbase UK is sending letters out warning people that they will need to convert their Zcash, ZEZ holdings, or remove them to an external wallet by August 26th. And that's an email that was sent out to people only holding Zcash. Who are UK clients. The cryptocurrency exchange gave no specific reason for the removal of the cryptocurrency, but said all remaining Z balances on August 26th will be automatically converted to British pounds in users' accounts. The electric coin company, developer of Zcash, appears to confirm the news, saying in a tweet on Friday, "Those affected by Coinbase UK issues, this is limited to Coinbase UK only. UK residents can still buy or sell Zcash through CEX_IO. No other exchanges in the UK affected." If further said to preempt speculation, we confirm that Zcash is 100% compatible with UK regulations and KYC AML requirements. In its guidance released at the end of July, the UK's financial watchdog, the Financial Conduct Authority, said that while some forms of crypto assets may fall under its regulatory remit, exchange tokens such as Bitcoin and Ether do not. That category would appear to include Zcash. The British tax agency, HM Revenue and Customs, has recently been sending out letters demanding that cryptocurrency exchanges, including Coinbase and eToro and CEX.io, reveal customers' names and transaction histories in a bid to claw back unpaid taxes, industry sources told media sources today. Zcash allows users the option to hide or shield details of their transactions using a type of zero-knowledge proofs called ZK-SNARKs. While when Coinbase Pro originally announced ZK support back in November 2018, it said it would support deposits from both transparent and shielded addresses, but only support withdrawals to transparent addresses. In the future, we'll explore support for withdrawals to shielded addresses in locations where it complies with local laws. Users of Coinbase and other jurisdictions appear unaffected by removal of Zcash support at this current point in time. So I think that's really interesting in itself, especially if you're a big holder of Zcash, because not only is your asset being delisted from Coinbase UK, but also other exchanges will look at that and say, there's a reason why Coinbase is doing this. They won't blindly ignore the fact that Coinbase has just delisted the token itself. You know, a lot of different exchanges will look to that and be like, okay, we should take a further look at this. Because Coinbase have been known to be extremely savvy when it comes to regulations within where they're operating out of. And if there is a reason for the removal, if you're another exchange, you should probably look into that reason too, because you might potentially be liable by holding this. And of course, when it comes to HM revenue and customs coming around saying, how many Zcash do they have? When do they buy it? How do they buy it? Have they made or lost money on that trade? You can't really give the answers to that. So this is a really interesting time. We're seeing HM revenue coming through. It'd be interesting to see how many conversations they've had with exchanges. Of course, that's going to be privy information, but how far along are they in the process? How up to speed are they as well? Maybe we can try reach out to someone for more understanding around that area. All right, let's talk Bitcoin mining. So a decade ago, when Satoshi Nakamoto unleashed the Bitcoin network, the security behind the protocol was guarded by only a few miners. These days, mining the SHA-256 algorithm has become a thriving industry that hasn't stopped growing. Every waking second of the day, Bitcoin miners are crunching numbers, humming away in facilities that few people who use the network have ever seen. Miners from large facilities who form giant pools stems from a variety of provenances around the world. In the early days, up until 2010, individuals mined Bitcoin with a central processing unit, a CPU. This was until people like Laszlo Hantsi, the man who traded 10,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas, and Artforce mined the cryptocurrency of a graphic processing unit, a GPU. Artforce was an anonymous individual that became to the talk of the Bitcoin community during the early days after he created the first farm of GPU miners. In July 2010, Artforce said he had about 4% of global hash rate at that time, mining 1,700 coins in 6 days. Less than 3 months later, people claimed that anonymous individuals called Art Farm controlled between 20 to 30% of the network hash rate. So a year after Artforce fired up his GPU farm to mine Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto asked the community to slow down on the mining arms race in December 2009. We should have a gentleman's agreement to postpone the GPU arms race as long as we can for the good of the network. It's much easier to get new users up to speed if they don't have to worry about GPU drivers and compatibility. It's nice how everyone with just a CPU can compete fairly equally right now, Nakamoto said at the time. The GPU arms race sparked the creation of the first mining pools in November 2010, when Marek Plantius, otherwise known as Slush, formed a pool, Slush Pool, because mining became very hard for other people after GPU-enabled computers entered the fray. With the mining pools, a collective of individuals mining, sharing profits became all the rage. And the summer of 2011 saw the inception of field programmable gate arrays, FPGAs. As soon as FPGAs were created, many Bitcoiners knew application-specific integrated circuits, abbreviation as ASICs, were on the way very soon. Unlike the machines used in the past, ASICs are integrated circuits that have one specific job, which is to mine the SHA-256 algorithm. ASICs and pools quickly turned Bitcoin mining into an industry, and hobbyist miners began to contribute less over the next few decades. Moreover, mining Bitcoin without an ASIC became unprofitable, and the CPU, GPU, and FPGA days quickly came to an end in 2013. Roughly at this time, Avalon released its first set of ASICs, and Bitcoiners witnessed the birth of companies like Bitmain, KNC Miner, Hashfast, Bitfury, CoinTerra, and Butterfly Labs, BFL. From here, the mining ecosystem went into overdrive and digital currency saw giant mining pools like GHash.io and BTC Guild gathering 51% of Bitcoin's network mining power. Many of the mining manufacturers are now bankrupt, but some companies like Bitmain, Bitfury, and Slushpool have remained relevant over the years. So here's where it gets really interesting. The Bitcoin network's hash rate did not surpass 1 exahash per second, or EHS, until January 25, 2016. A year later, after August 1, 2017, well-known and unknown mining pools processed both Bitcoin and BCH transactions that summer and still do to this day. In mid-November, during the crypto bull run in 2017, the Bitcoin network processed 10.8 EHS, while the BCH network around 5 EHS. Interestingly, when markets plummeted downwards in 2018, SHA-256 hash rates continued to climb. Seeing little downward pressure, this was the highest profitable split in history, where two chains with the same algorithm saw large mining pools jump back and forth between chains depending on profitability. Moreover, on November 15th, 2018, when the Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV split occurred, miners from the Bitcoin network stepped in during the hash war. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, if you haven't already, subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. Follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Join us on Telegram. If you type in SVK crowd, you will find us. And if you have any further questions, queries, or you'd like to present your deal to us, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap. And I've got to bounce.